Mariko, Mariko said. I would never cut them up and put them in the garbage, even if he made me very, very angry, which he never has. She sent him a sweet, intimate smile. Rico reached for her hand and brought it to his chest, over his heart. Emanuele, Stefano continued to look at his sister. Instantly the fork stopped moving again. What were you doing at the flower shop? She was the only one to continue to eat. She took a bite of pasta and delicately chewed it before taking a sip of wine. When Stefano kept looking at her, she shrugged. I visit Signora Vitale often. Shadow Riders could hear truth, and Emanuele's voice righteously rang with honesty. Stefano continued to look at her. I am well aware you visit Signora Vitale on a regular basis. I also know she doesn't go to the flower shop. Her grandson Bruno runs it now. I check on him regularly. If I didn't, he would probably be sending drugs out with every order. Taviano sighed. I check on him, too, just in case. Nicoletta works for the Vitales, so I want to make certain Bruno toes the line, which he doesn't, and has no business pulling Nicoletta into his shit. He looked at his sister. Stefano's right. Signora Vitale doesn't frequent the flower shop. Emanuele glared at him and mouthed, traitor, over her wine glass. She was the youngest of the Ferraros, and strikingly beautiful with her long, dark hair and curvy body. Emme? Rico pushed. It isn't anyone's business, she snapped. I'm over 21. You can all stay the hell out of my business. Emanuele, Stefano cautioned. He sat up straight. Damn it, that fucking Valentino Soldi has been coming around again, hasn't he? Are you seeing him? There was a small, telling silence. Every fork and wine glass went on the table, and once again, only the ticking of the clock and the breath rushing in and out of their lungs could be heard. It isn't your business. It is my business. It's the entire family's business. The Soldis are criminals and our worst enemy. You know that. We're criminals, Emanuele pointed out, glaring at her oldest brother. Did you know about this, Francesca? Stefano demanded. Francesca didn't reply, and her silence was damning. Dark lines of anger made her husband look very dangerous. We'll talk about this later. It was a threat. Nothing less. He switched his attention to his sister. He's manipulating you to get information. We've had this conversation repeatedly. Since you were 16, sneaking out of your fucking window and seeing him. He's too old for you, and he's the enemy. Giovanni didn't want to hear that Valentino was too old for his sister, although he agreed she shouldn't see him. Sasha was only 22. He was older not only in years, but in experience. Of course, so was Valentino. You see him again, Emanuele. You're going to give me no choice here. What does that mean? She challenged. What the fuck do you think it means? Your loyalty has to be to this family. My duty is to protect it, and every member in it. The Soldis nearly wiped out every member of our family. That is ancient history. Long before any of us were born, she snapped. The feud still exists to this day. Go to Sicily, Emanuele. You'll learn fast enough. Valentino can't be trusted. If he persists in using you to get to us, he's going to disappear. Emanuele went white. She put down her napkin, her dark eyes never leaving her brother's face. I would never forgive you. Never, Stefano. I would disappear, and you would never find me. If you think I'm trying to scare you, I'm not. It's the honest truth. I love you. I do. I love all of you. You have no right to harm Valentino when he hasn't done one thing to any of us. He took our side and saved lives when we needed it. He had his men help us, she reminded, almost pleading with her brother. I know he did, Bella, Stefano said. I'm not saying Valentino isn't a good man. I think he is, but he's loyal to his family. He should be, just as we're loyal to one another. It isn't safe. I'm safe with him. You aren't, Emanuele, Stefano said. He's a very dangerous man. I'm telling you, I don't want you to see him again. You'll be safe. He'll be safe. We can still be civil to one another. You know I'm right." She closed her eyes for a long minute. Giovanni wanted to put his arms around her and hold her tight. Something had happened between Valentino and Emanuele, something she refused to tell any of them. Most of the time she avoided him, and then there would be short times they would sneak off together. Those times never lasted long. Again, no one knew why. "You don't have to worry," she said. "I'm not seeing him. I told Bruno, if Valentino called, he wasn't to fill the order, that I'd compensate him for the loss." She lifted her chin. "So, you have nothing to worry about other than my disloyalty to the family."
"I never thought you were disloyal."
"Of course you did. I must be giving away family secrets if I talk to him. I'm a woman, after all, and I can be persuaded by great sex."
There was bitterness in her voice, enough that every single member of her family protested at once.
"Emme!"
Stefano heaved a sigh and pressed his fingers to his forehead, as if to relieve a pain.
"Honey, I have never treated you as less than you are, a shadow rider of equal value as every man seated at this table. Maybe I'm guilty of loving you too much and being worried every second of my life that something would happen to you. I do the same with Francesca and now Marico. I can't help who I am. The obsessive-compulsive streak to surround everyone I love with a huge wall is a battle I fight every day. I don't mean to smother you, Emme. I trust you as a rider. I know you can take care of yourself and that you won't betray family secrets."
"Then stop getting upset if I see Val," she whispered. Giovanni wanted to protest. He could see on his brothers' faces that they wanted to as well. Valentino Soldi was a good man. They'd all watched him carefully. His family had secrets, but so did theirs. They both were guilty of criminal activities. The difference was, the Ferraro family considered themselves on the side of good. Val couldn't say that. He wouldn't leave Emanuele alone. More than once, she'd made it clear she wasn't seeing him, and he always seemed to talk her around.
"Honey, you think I don't want to give that to you?"
Stefano put his hand over his heart.
"On my honor, Emme, with everything in me, I want to give you whatever your heart needs, and it seems Val is your choice, but you can't go there. Not with his family, and not with yours."
"I know that. I make it clear to him. I just don't like you threatening him. I have to manage my own life, but—"
She held up her hand to stop Stefano from interrupting her. "If I need you, any or all of you, to help me, I promise, I'll ask."
Stefano sighed and shook his head, but he didn't persist.
Giovanni wanted his older brother to lay down the law in no uncertain terms. They all knew Val was dangerous. Emanuele, by tacking on the last, made it clear that she thought there might come a time when she would be once again making it clear to Valentino Soldi that she wouldn't date him.
"What are you planning to do about your little waitress?"
Vittorio asked Giovanni. The peacemaker, changing the subject.
"I have no idea. She already probably thinks I'm the playboy from hell," Giovanni admitted, "and she doesn't like me."
"What else did you do?" Stefano asked, his tone deceptively mild. He hadn't gotten his way with Emanuele, so he was quite willing to battle it out with his brother. Giovanni shrugged.
"I did ask her to dance, and when she wouldn't because of club policy, I offered to fire her and then rehire her after."
Rico groaned.
"She had to think you were trying to make her part of that game you invented."
"He invented the game?" Francesca echoed.
"Giovanni, you didn't."
"I'm sorry."
Giovanni wasn't above acting. He hung his head.
"Really sorry."
He was, now that Sasha had overheard him. There was no explaining what their lives were like to someone who hadn't been born a Ferraro, someone whose financials weren't plastered in every tabloid for all to see. Every kidnapper and money-hungry man or woman who thought they would have an easy ride.
Salvatore thought he'd met a woman who really cared about him for him, not the money. They went on several dates together, and she seemed genuine. We can hear lies, as you well know, and everything pointed to the fact that their relationship was going in a good way. "Was she a rider?" Mariko asked, looking around the table. "I thought you could only be with a woman who was a rider." "Sometimes we get tired of waiting," Vittorio said. "It isn't easy being alone and feeling as if you're always going to be alone." "Go on," Francesca encouraged Giovanni. She got up before he did and said she would dispose of the condom in the bathroom. She was lying, and he heard the lie. We all have had that trick played on us, and nothing makes us angrier. It's a cheap low blow to have a woman try to get pregnant that way. There was a small silence. Mariko exchanged a long look with Francesca without comprehension. "I don't understand." "You wouldn't, Farfallina mia," Rico said. "It wouldn't occur to either of you, but some women, when they want to trap a very wealthy man, will try anything, including putting holes in condoms, or, as in this case, will try to use the sperm in the condom to get pregnant." "That's disgusting. How could he know she planned to do that?" Francesca asked. "She had a syringe on her, and when he questioned her, she admitted it, saying she loved him and just wanted his baby. That, by the way, was a lie as well. He heard that, too. She didn't love him, nor did she really want his child. She wanted his money and the prestige of being his wife. It's happened on too many occasions to all of us with a certain type of woman playing one too many tricks on us. So, yes, I invented the game. But it was only played with that type of woman. Certainly not someone like Sasha," Giovanni said. "What do you know about her?" Stefano asked. "She's from Wyoming, a ranch." "Are you certain about her?" Stefano continued, glancing at Taviano.
Which meant he wanted the investigators set on her.
"Ranch means cattle that are probably artificially inseminated." Giovanni shook his head. Taviano and Vittorio did the same. Still, it wouldn't matter. Sasha would be investigated. Giovanni needed to know everything he could about her to win her. "I already sent everything that was in her work file to the investigators." Stefano nodded his approval. Francesca made a face at him. "If I overheard the rules of the game, Giovanni, I would think you were after me on a dare or a bet," Emanuele said. "I can't imagine what you could say that would make me agree to go out with you, let alone be seen in public with you, except that. That's the most disgusting thing I've heard in a long time. Poor Salvatore. He really liked her?" "He said so. Salvatore wants to settle down. He said he told his parents about her and that he was serious. That's the night he found out she was after him for the money." "I'd like to pay that woman a visit," Emanuele said. "What's wrong with these women? Sometimes I want to lock you all up and protect you myself." "Speaking of paying someone a visit, Stefano," Giovanni said, "I can't do it myself, or I would." There was a hint of bitterness in his voice. "Darby made a scene deliberately in the club after all the warnings. He had Sasha's camisole torn open and would have exposed her on his fucking reality show. We got the footage." Stefano's face darkened. "All of it?" "We think so," Taviano said. "There were a lot of paparazzi there. We needed them to film Salvatore and Gino, so they had alibis, while Luca did his job. As usual, Luca made it out of the plane and back in without ever being seen. As far as the world knows, he was in New York the entire time." "I'll pay Darby a visit. That little prick needs to be taught some respect," Stefano said. "I'm with you," Vittorio said. "I wanted to do a little exposure myself." "That gives me an idea," Stefano said. He glanced at his wife and forced a small smile to cover the grim darkness in his eyes. "We'll talk about it later."
Chapter 4
Sasha smiled as she handed the carefully prepared and wrapped sandwich to Tito Petrov.
He was flirting outrageously with her. She had been getting that a lot since she had moved into her cozy little apartment above the deli. She loved her apartment. She liked the people she worked with at the deli, and especially the owner, Pietro Maschi. He reminded her of her father.
"Don't just smile," Tito complained. "Say yes. Go out with me."
She shook her head. "I'm sorry, but I'm busy tonight." The deli suddenly went quiet, the buzz of conversation that was always present hushed.
"Tomorrow night, then,"
Tito insisted, his voice overloud in the unexpected silence. "I'm working," she said, as gently as possible, lifting her gaze to sweep the room, puzzled at the weird cessation of noise. Giovanni Ferraro stood in the doorway, his wide shoulders seeming to touch from one side of the door jamb to the other.
He wore a three-piece pinstriped suit and looked so good in it she thought he should be modeling for some high-end fashion company.
He wore his hair short, as a rule, but lately it wasn't quite as neat as it usually appeared in the magazines, as if maybe he'd neglected a cut or two. He was gorgeous. There was no doubt about it. His eyes met hers, and she couldn't look away. His were dark and held mystery that had the capability of turning either ice-cold or fiery hot. He had to know he was hotter than hell, and she wasn't in his league. Still, there he was, and she wasn't going to delude herself into thinking he wasn't there for her. He was. He was hunting. She knew all about hunting. She lived by hunting. Now she was the prey. Something perverse in her loved that. Her body came to life just looking at him, staring into his eyes, sent heat rushing through her veins. Tito half turned, saw Giovanni, and slowly straightened.
"Shit," he said, under his breath. "Not again."
Forcing her gaze back to her customer, Sasha pressed the numbers on the pad to ring up his purchase. She turned the entire pad around so he could swipe his card. He did so, muttering to himself. She didn't understand, but she didn't ask what he meant.
"You going out with him?" he asked. "Because I really would like to take you out tonight."
That she heard. Before she could answer, Giovanni loomed over them. He was big, all muscle, intimidating. He gave off an aura of danger she hadn't realized was so scary.
"She's going out with me tonight," he stated firmly, staring Tito down.
She glared at the two men. "Tito, please sign and take your sandwich. The line is backing up. I'm not going out with anyone. I told you both. I'm very busy tonight."
Men.
She was stumbling over them lately, and she wasn't certain why. She had no time for men. She'd heard somewhere that if you weren't open to a relationship, then men knew it and didn't bother to ask you out. Or to dance. Or to have a pizza. "I'm not a bone." Giovanni's gaze drifted over her, touched her mouth and lingered, dropped lower to drift over her body, and then came back to her face.
"Definitely not a bone. I appreciate that very much."
He glanced at his watch and then looked over her shoulder.
"Pietro, can I steal Sasha for just a minute? I won't keep her long."
She'd felt the heat of that slow, intimate perusal. He'd managed somehow to look possessive, not lecherous. The touch of his gaze sent more heat rushing through her, raising her temperature until she felt hot and edgy. She did her best to glare at him when she really wanted to fan her face, hoping it wasn't red. Her body felt needy, her sex suddenly damp and clenching.
"Mr. Ferraro, of course, take your time. You can use my office if you need privacy."
Sasha was horrified. She wasn't about to go into that tiny office with Giovanni Ferraro, not when she was feeling like she was. She started shaking her head.
"It's Giovanni, Pietro, and thank you. Your office is perfect."
He stepped right up to the counter, moving around Tito, who was still standing there with his mouth open.
"Smooth, Ferraro,"
Tito said, snatching his sandwich off the counter and striding toward the door.
"Wait, you didn't sign it,"
Sasha called after him. Giovanni leaned over, hit the 30% tip, drew an X with his finger, and then tapped done. The pad accepted the signature as if Tito had signed it.
"There you go. He gave a nice tip as well." You can't do that.
Giovanni came right around the corner and took her arm, tugging to get her moving toward the back room. Pietro stepped up to take her place. She turned back to him.
He can't do that, can he?
Pietro shrugged. If it comes back, I know where to find both of them.
Sasha went with Giovanni because she wasn't about to cause a scene, not when the packed deli had every eye on them. The customers weren't even pretending they weren't listening. They stared, and no one said a word in the hopes of hearing more. She was grateful when a corner took them out of sight.
Giovanni took her down the hall to Pietro's office. He stepped back to allow her through the door. Her first thought was that he was very gentlemanly, until she realized that put him between her and the door. He even closed it, and then leaned against the wood looking at her. His gaze moved over her, just as it had done in the store, possessive, hot, making her feel as though it was a physical touch. She waited him out, mostly because she was shaken by her reaction to him. She noticed each time their shadows touched. She had such an intense jolt of sexual hunger, she was a little afraid she might jump him. Thinking that wasn't such a good idea, especially after listening to the finer points of his little game, she backed across the room, which was all of 6 steps, and perched on the edge of Pietro's desk, hoping she looked casual.
"You didn't tell me you were working here," Giovanni said.
He didn't take his eyes off her, nor did he blink. She felt a little as if she was in the room with a dangerous lion, ready to leap on her any minute. One wrong move and she would lose. What, she wasn't certain, but the feeling was so strong, she held her breath and shrugged, afraid of saying the wrong thing and setting him off.
"Why didn't you tell me, Sasha? We talked last night. You know I'm not quite the bastard you thought at first. You could have confided you had a second job."
She took another deep breath, filling her lungs with much-needed air.
"It didn't seem necessary."
"How so?"
She shrugged. "It didn't fit anywhere in the conversation."
"Of course it did. I wanted to know about you. Everything I could learn. You knew that. I made it clear that I wasn't playing around. You didn't tell me because you knew I wouldn't like the idea of you working 16 hours a day. You can't keep it up without making yourself sick."
Her chin went up. She narrowed her eyes at him, giving him her best death stare.
"I can take care of myself, thank you very much. I've been doing it for a while now."
"Sasha." He said her name in a low voice, almost a caress. Definitely a reprimand. Just her name, nothing else.
She found herself squirming in spite of her resolve to tell him to go to hell. He had no right to tell her what she could or couldn't do. He was rolling in money. Maybe he didn't have to work, but she did. She worked herself up to a self-righteous rant.
"Tell me what you need. We can make it happen."
She closed her mouth before words could tumble out.
What did that mean?
"Mr. Ferraro. We dispensed with that the other night."
"Giovanni, then. I don't know what you mean."
"I mean I want to go out with you. Seriously. Not part of some childish, idiotic game. Just get to know you. With you working 16 hours, it's going to be difficult. I would very much like to know why you have to work that many hours and how I can help."
There was sincerity in his voice.
She usually could hear a lie. It was just some weird little trick she had. A gift, her mother called it. She knew when someone lied to her, but she couldn't believe Giovanni was telling the truth. "Why would a man like you be interested in a woman like me?" she challenged. She didn't believe in beating around the bush. "It doesn't make sense. Not when so many beautiful women, women in your same circle, throw themselves at you."
"I don't have any desire to be with a woman who wants me because I'm wealthy."
"How do you know I'm not after your money?" His eyes didn't leave hers, and she felt the burn of his gaze all the way to her bones. He was just plain sexy. He didn't have to talk. He could just look at her, and she wanted to start peeling off her clothes.
"I know."
"Well, I'm sorry, Giovanni, but I'm not interested."
"You're interested. Don't start lying to me, Sasha."
He folded his arms across his chest and kept his gaze on hers, steady, unrelenting.
Tell me why you have two jobs.
It's not your business.
Everything in our territory is my business. You're my business.
Why?
You know why. I'm not playing this game with you. I'm interested. You're interested. I made an ass out of myself. But we got past that.
You may have, but I haven't, she said. Just look at yourself in those magazines. You're all over them. You have women hanging all over you. You're practically doing it with them in every other shot. There's a lovely shot of you on a balcony with a woman. She has no clothes on, and you don't have your shirt on. There was another with a different woman that same night. Same night. Same hotel. She was coming out of your room at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you really think I would want to be a part of that lifestyle? It isn't going to happen, no matter how attracted to you I am. You live one way, and it's a way I don't understand. I told you I was serious about being with you, Sasha. You know damn well I'm not lying to you. You can pretend you think I am, but it isn't the truth. And as far as I can tell, you live by the truth. She could barely breathe. He sounded serious, and he sounded like he wasn't about to back off or give up. She would give in to him sooner or later if he kept at her. She knew she would. She had never been so attracted to a man in her life. Her breasts ached. Ached. That had never happened to her before. Not one single time. Stop shaking your head. She had known she was shaking her head. Self-preservation was a beautiful thing. We wouldn't work, and you know it. She wished she didn't sound so desperate. It was only because he had caught her off guard. She hadn't expected him to be so direct. She knew his intentions. She wasn't stupid. She'd sat next to him for a couple of hours, his thigh pressed against hers. She was adept at reading men. She'd grown up around them. She liked direct. She needed direct. She was a plain-spoken woman. She said what she felt and expected those around her to do the same. She'd come to the city because she had to, because this was the place that for now, maybe for always, she needed to be. She realized almost immediately that most people here weren't quite as plain-spoken as she'd been brought up to be. She liked Giovanni better for it, but it was also harder to resist him. We belong. Her sex clenched. For a moment, she thought he was going to take a step toward her, and she flung up her hand to ward him off. He couldn't touch her. That would really get her in trouble. He'd realize she was a little bit in lust with him, over the top in lust. He just stayed there, draped lazily against the door, looking in complete control while she was a mess. Sasha, did you hear me? I heard you.
Her voice came out a whisper. I am not going there with you. I'm not. I need the work. When things don't work out, and they won't. He'd get bored. Men like him got bored. Sometimes they got bored in the same night, and she had the evidence to prove it lying on her kitchen table, the magazine open to the exact page.
I just can't afford to lose my job.
Sasha, we're going to see each other. It's going to happen. Just tell me why you need two jobs.
It isn't your business.
Men like me investigate women they're interested in. You have to know that.
Oh, my God! Are you kidding me?
She was outraged. Every woman you date is investigated? Thoroughly. You have someone looking into me right this minute? He nodded, looked complacent. She wanted to pull out her hair. She might have even yanked at it. At the very least, she wanted to throw something at him.
You don't think that's wrong? Totally messed up?
It's something we have no choice in. All of us do it. If you've got skeletons in your closet, you may as well confess now. It won't make any difference. I'm still going to claim you. He regarded her with that steady gaze, his eyes darker, sensual lines cut deep in his face. If you're still coming after me, then wasting your money and the time of investigators seems a little foolish. Knowledge is always a powerful thing.
What does that mean?
It means stop beating around the bush. Why do you have to have two jobs? The apartment isn't cheap, but you can certainly afford it on what you make at the club. She had to have the job at the club. If she hadn't needed it, she would have punched John Darby right in the nose. She might have done the same to his obnoxious, very drunk friends and the cameraman filming the entire setup. She knew they would have aired it on his reality show, and if she sued, they would have gladly paid her whatever she wanted. The episode would have been worth it to them. She pulled out Pietro's office chair and sank into it. "I told you I have an older brother, Sandlin, and that he was driving the car the night of the accident." She pushed her fingers through her hair and then scrubbed her hand over her face. "He suffered a traumatic brain injury, very severe. She forced herself to say it aloud. "He doesn't remember me. Not at all. He doesn't remember anything of his old life. I bring photographs to him, but nothing sparks his memory. He can't take care of himself and needs a full-time caretaker as well as rehabilitation. That doesn't come cheap. I researched the country for the best facilities, and there was a really good one here in Chicago. You pay for it yourself. There's some insurance, his social security. I tried to hire a lawyer to sue the woman who hit him, but there was so much to do and I haven't had time. That's coming next. You can see, I don't have the time or inclination to date anyone, let alone a man who has cameras following him around. My life is real, Giovanni." "Meaning mine isn't?" He straightened, and her breath caught in her lungs. He was back to looking like the lion, now stalking her. God, he was scary. He came close, towering over her, making her feel small, making her feel like a snob. She was ashamed, but before she could take it back, he perched himself on the edge of the desk. He caught the arms of the chair she sat in and leaned toward her. Up close, he looked more dangerous than ever, and he smelled delicious. "I was shot twice a few months ago. The shot to my thigh shattered the bone, and I've had to have several surgeries. I'll need another to get rid of the plates and rods. I've been months in physical therapy, and haven't been able to do the job I was meant to do for my family. You don't know the first thing about my life, Sasha, but I assure you, it's very real." She wanted to look away from the intensity of his stare, but she couldn't. She'd said it, and she'd been wrong to make such a statement. "I'm sorry. Of course your life is real. I can't imagine the things you have to deal with in your life any more than you can imagine what is a hardship in mine. It was really wrong of me to imply that I have things harder than you. I really am sorry." He caught her chin, his thumb sliding over her skin, sending little electrical pulses zapping through her like little lightning strikes. "You're an incredible woman. Do you know that? I don't know many women who would apologize the way you just did. Right away. No beating around the bush. It was wrong of me, and I didn't even really mean it." She licked her lips because he kept staring at her mouth, and she was suddenly very hungry for his kiss. She craved it when she had never so much as felt his mouth on hers. She could almost taste him on her tongue. It was ridiculous. "Sasha, I want to see you. Take a chance on me." She wanted to, especially when he was so close. His suit enhanced the muscles. It had to. The coat and vest and shirt just stretched across that wall of a chest and his wide shoulders. He looked amazing. He smelled even better. His mouth was close, on hers. At the first touch of his lips, she gasped. Firm, cool, heating rapidly, or maybe that was her, because the blood in her veins was suddenly scorching and rushing to pool low. His teeth caught her lower lip and tugged gently. His tongue soothed the tiny ache. Her heart thudded. Her stomach did a slow roll. She was aware of him moving, or maybe it was her, but she was in his arms, surrounded by him. Her mouth opened all by itself. She didn't really have a thing to do with it. He was unexpectedly gentle. That was her undoing. She couldn't resist him. He appeared dangerous and tough as nails, although smoothly sophisticated. He took his time exploring her mouth, and all that fire he ignited in her grew until she felt as if he was pouring flames down her throat so they could spread through her body. Her arms crept around his neck, and she found herself kissing him back, her tongue tangling with his. Her body melted into his. She couldn't think anymore. She wasn't even certain of her own name. All that mattered was his addicting taste and the fire he created with just his mouth alone. It was Giovanni who broke the kiss with a soft groan. He lifted his head, his breathing a little ragged. She realized she was standing between his legs, pressed tightly against him, her mouth chasing his.
"Baby," he said very softly, "we have to stop. I promised myself I'd do this right with you. I want you more than you could possibly know, and this isn't where we're going to have our first time together."
Sasha inhaled sharply and tried to pull back. What was wrong with her? One moment she was saying no, and the next she was participating in the longest make-out session she'd ever been in. The best. No one kissed like he did. She touched her lips to make certain they weren't actually on fire.
"I have to sit down."
She did. Her legs weren't going to support her, and if she didn't get away from his body, she was going to be touching parts of him that were definitely off-limits. He held on to her until she was seated in the chair. She needed time away from his potency. She gave him a rueful smile.
"I think that's called being kissed senseless."
"My brain short-circuited." She held up her hand before he could say anything. "It's coming back. Slow, but it's happening. I love the way you kiss, obviously. That still isn't saying I'm going to take a chance on you. I don't want a broken heart. And you're that man. You are, Giovanni. Seriously. You have to listen to me. I'm not like those other women you date."
"I don't date them, Sasha. I've never dated anyone. I don't go to their place of work and plead my case. I fuck them. I walk away. They walk away. That isn't how I want to live. I want a woman who actually loves me. I want to love her. I want a family. I don't want to go to nightclubs every night and play stupid games. You're that woman for me."
"How do you know? You met me 3 days ago." He waved his hand around the room, as if it was the world. "I've traveled everywhere. I've met many women over the years, too many. None of them were the right one. When you've looked as long as I have, believe me, baby, you know when you see her. I knew the moment I saw you." She had to get away from his charisma. He drew her in like a magnet, and she couldn't seem to find the strength to push him away.
"I'll think about it, but I have to get back to work. This job is important to me. It doesn't pay anything like the club, but it's 40 hours a week solid. Sometimes, if I can do it, he gives me overtime. I like the people, and it allows me to make a few friends."
His face darkened. "Tito Petrov is not your friend. If you think I'm a ladies' man, he's worn that title around here since the 7th grade. She frowned up at him, but there was the tiniest part of her that was a little thrilled. She knew she shouldn't be, but it was there all the same.
"You sound jealous."
"I'm jealous as hell. Tito, Aaron, how many others?" She shrugged. "A few men came in and asked me out. I think I'm new in the neighborhood. And Aaron just feels bad because he and his friend drank too much, celebrating his victory, and wanted to apologize. Aaron sent me flowers and a really nice note, and his friend James sent me a box of chocolates with a beautiful card. I was surprised either of them would do that. Tom came in to apologize in person, as did one of the men who had his camera taken away. I think his name was Sid." She had been shocked. It was the last thing she ever would have considered. The three men, very drunk, their hands wandering constantly as if they were entitled to anything they wanted, giving her apologies. A man who made his living taking pictures, telling her he was sorry he'd gotten angry over losing the film. Giovanni kept his gaze steady on her face. "Did they include their phone numbers in their nice little notes?" She nodded.
Yes, but I don't think any of them expected me to actually call them.
He gave a small groan and reached out to tuck a stray strand of hair behind her ear. His fingers moved over her cheek and swept down to her jaw, leaving her shivering at his touch. She found her reaction to him disturbing.
Aaron is a good man, Sasha, but he's a player. I've known him most of his life. We train together sometimes, and he's a very good fighter, one of the best. He's fought his way to the top, and he deserves everything he gets. His childhood wasn't the easiest, so I'm always happy when he wins his fights and earns good money. Being a good man doesn't necessarily translate into being a good partner.
You can't know that.
I do know that. He's never been faithful to a single woman he's been in a relationship with. I think it's because he's looking for something intangible that he can never find. He needs to know he's worth something, and he's always looking in the wrong places. Sasha could tell he was very thoughtful about it, not being mean about his friend. She could tell he liked Aaron, but was definitely warning her away from the fighter.
What about you? Have you always been faithful to a woman you've been in a relationship with?
I've never had a relationship.
For a moment, she almost didn't comprehend what he was telling her. The enormity of that. She heard the ring of honesty in his voice, but to think that he had never been in a relationship.
Not ever? Not even in school? We weren't allowed to go to a school. Not like most people. Not even a private school. We had tutors. They were very exacting. We weren't encouraged to have social relationships with our peers. When I said I knew him from school, I meant he was my age during my school years, and we struck up a friendship of sorts. Aaron's family life was bad, and I ran across him one evening when I was running in the park. He was skinny. His clothes were torn, and he was a mess. It was cold, and he didn't have much to keep him warm, so I snuck him into our garage. Our garage is heated and is absolutely clean at all times. There was a trace of humor in his voice when he said the last. She knew Giovanni felt bad for Aaron and was telling her about his friend, but the story told her so much more about him. He was wealthy beyond most people's imaginations and lived away from others, not encouraged to have friends or relationships. Yet he'd taken a boy home and hidden him in his garage to help him out.
The tabloids always have you with some woman. None of that is true?
Giovanni shrugged. I go to charity events all the time. It's customary to have a woman on your arm. The more famous she is, the more attention you bring to the charity. Being with a woman for a night doesn't mean I'm in a relationship with her.
Why one night?
Sasha was well aware she was asking questions she shouldn't. She didn't want to even consider dating him. She didn't want to be attracted to him, and the more she knew of him, the stronger the attraction seemed to be. She just couldn't stop herself.
I don't lead women on. I don't pretend that we're going to be together forever, even for a few months or years. It's all or nothing for the men in our family. That's the way we're made, and we don't take chances that we're going to hurt someone innocent.
I'm not playing a game with you, Sasha. I'm telling you. You're the one.
She shook her head.
I'm not. You don't know me at all. Not at all.
I watched you for most of the night. You're like a ray of sunshine. The club was dark, and I was feeling angry and maybe a little sorry for myself.
He paused.
Very sorry for myself, he corrected. I didn't want to be there, but I had no choice. I was sick of the music and the drinking. I was really sick of the women fawning all over me. My cousin was upset because the woman he thought cared about him did something despicable, and he realized she didn't care at all. It was a shit night, and then I saw you laughing. You were several tables down from mine, serving drinks, and you were like the sun right there, lighting up the dark. Her heart reacted, beating faster. Butterfly wings fluttered against her stomach. I watched you. I couldn't take my eyes from you. You chatted with various people, and I could see that everywhere you went, those you served drinks to laughed with you. Their faces lit up when you came close. You fascinated me. I think, if that's true, it doesn't take all that much. She had to deflect, make a joke, do something, anything to keep from hearing what he was saying. She liked it too much. She couldn't afford to be drawn into anything with him. She was too busy, and she didn't have room in her life for someone else. More, his world was so different from hers. She knew she wouldn't fit in there. How could she? She didn't understand the people in his world, with their false smiles and sense of entitlement. I won't lie to you, Sasha. Not now, not ever. I'm about as jaded as a man can get. I've had every trick you can imagine pulled on me. When I saw you, I swear, you were like a breath of fresh air when I was drowning. I watched you all night like some stalker. I lost track of you when you went on your break, and that's what got me in trouble. She didn't have a defense against him, not when he told her things like that. She stared up at his face, all those hard angles and planes. His family scared her just a little bit, looking dangerous and powerful and owning just about everything she could see from her apartment above the deli. "Tell me about your brother." The softly spoken command was so unexpected, she found herself doing so before she could think it through. She needed someone to talk to about him. "Sandlin is my big brother, an absolute sweetheart. We were very close. He taught me to ride and shoot. He practically taught me everything there was to know about ranching. He took jobs away from the ranch and sent the money home when we needed anything extra. He would buy me things my parents couldn't afford to give me. Sometimes he'd sneak me candy he bought. Saltwater taffy was my favorite, the cinnamon kind. And he'd go to the candy store, pick all the cinnamon ones out, and fill up a bag for me. I wasn't supposed to eat it because Mom didn't want me ruining my teeth, but Sandlin would sneak it into my room. She laughed at the memory and found tears burned too close behind her eyes. I love him. If I could, I'd take care of him myself, but he needs special care. He has seizures sometimes, and he can't do a lot of things for himself yet. This facility is not only a live-in place, but a rehabilitation center. They've worked miracles on patients. I'm hoping for one for Sandlin. Even if he never remembers me, and the doctors say he won't, I want him to get to a place where he can take care of himself, at least the simplest task. If something happens to me and I can't pay for him to stay there, I want him to be able to do a few things for himself. Does he remember you now? As you are. Going to see him? She nodded. I'm trying to build our relationship again. I think he looks forward to seeing me. Her voice had a little quiver in it. She couldn't quite stop. He reached down and took her chin with his fingers, lifting her face so she was forced to look at him. She was afraid he was seeing too much, so she lowered her lashes, veiling her eyes. She wasn't crying. She hadn't since she lost them all, her parents and Sandlin, but she could feel that burn and was terrified it showed. She didn't want to appear vulnerable to him. She wasn't the kind of girl that needed taking care of, and she wasn't about to let him think she was. Sweetheart, he sounds like a man I would like to get to know. He might not remember his past, but I'm betting he's always good to you when he sees you. She nodded. He's so sweet. She wrapped her arms around her middle for comfort and forced a smile. The nicer he was to her, the more the tears threatened. He's never impatient, and that's the way he was before. There are things that make me know he's still there. He's still my brother. He just doesn't know me or remember from before. We had a special relationship, and I know I never can have that again, but I'm working on a new one with him. It took effort to keep her voice from cracking. How often do you visit him? You can't have much time if you're working 16 hours a day, he pointed out. The club job pays the most, and I start at 6. Visiting hours are up until 9 o'clock, but I mostly go on my days off from the deli. Speaking of which, if I don't get out there, Pietro might fire me, and I can't afford that. I'm off tonight at the club, so I'm going to see him tonight. I go as often as I can.
Finding the time to see her brother was difficult, though. The facility was across town, and she had to take the bus. Sometimes that was uncomfortable at night. More than once, she'd wished she had a weapon to protect herself. Buses were convenient, but sometimes she wished she had a car. "Let me take you there tonight. My car is comfortable. I'd like to look around the facility and talk to those in charge. If you give me the name and address of it, I can have my people check it out thoroughly." She didn't want him helping, because that would only encourage him, but she would do anything for Sandlin. "My brother was always there for me when I was growing up. Always. I knew, no matter where I went or what I did, no matter how much trouble I got into, Sandlin would come for me. More than once, when I snuck out to a party, it was my brother I called, and he dropped everything, including some pretty hot dates, to get me out of trouble." She knew she was telling him, trying to explain, so he wouldn't think badly of her for taking advantage of his offer. He'd made it, but she felt bad that she needed something from him. She didn't want to be that person. He flashed a grin at her. "Did you get into a lot of trouble?" She nodded. "I worked hard in school and on the ranch, doing an adult's work, so I thought I should be able to go wild on the weekends like my friends. Drinking is not my friend. The booze we had was really cheap, and hangovers hurt like hell." She started laughing at a memory, sharing it with him, wanting him to know how wonderful her brother was. "I remember this one time my brother had a date with Ginger Tartar. I called her the Tart to my brother, but she was really good-looking. She had breasts and hips and these lips." She pursed her lips and made fishy noises. "Sandlin was with her, right at the crucial moment, getting her clothes off her, and I called in a panic. I was pretty drunk, and the man I went to the party with was expecting the same thing Sandlin was getting. I locked myself in the bathroom and called him. Of course he came, and I never heard the end of it, but he never told my parents. I'd really like to meet him," Giovanni said. He pulled out his phone. "Name and address?" She took a breath. Anything for her brother. Anything at all. This wasn't a commitment to Giovanni, simply a friend helping out. She could look at it that way. She hoped she'd chosen the right place for him. She'd researched and read all kinds of reviews, but she knew any care facility was only as good as the people it hired. She didn't want her brother neglected or mistreated, and she didn't know if he was capable of telling her if someone was hurting him in any way. She told Giovanni, and he was instantly texting someone. He was fast at it, too, much faster than she was. "What time should I pick you up?" Her heart jumped. "I get off at 5 today. I usually jump right on the bus. Do you want to change first? We could catch dinner after your visit." He held up his hand to stop her protest. "We have to eat sometime. We might as well eat together. I refrained from biting you, remember?" She narrowed her eyes at him. "Were you thinking of biting me?" "Absolutely I was. I still am. But I'll make sure you like it." She shook her head and pushed out of the seat. Instantly, the heat of his body told her she was too close, and she stepped away from him. "I'm going back to work. I'll see you later." He made no move to touch her, or kiss her, a fact that should have made her happy, but instead disappointed her. "Be good. Stay away from those other men. I have that one really unfortunate trait." "One. You aren't furthering your cause, you know," she said, smirking a little over her shoulder. "I believe you have many unfortunate traits." Laughing, she hurried down the hall to the counter, wondering why she suddenly felt so happy. Chapter 5 Sasha went out the back door of the deli, which led into an alley. She glanced at her watch. It was after 3. Pietro had let her off early. She'd texted Giovanni, and he was probably waiting out front. But just before she left, Pietro had gone to the bank, and Aria, the girl who was supposed to relieve her, hadn't shown up right away. Sasha didn't want to get into his car smelling of deli meat, so she ran up the stairs, determined to take a quick shower. At the top of her stairs was a bouquet of roses. They lay there, a little wilted from lack of water, but the splash of color was cheerful against the bleached wood. She bent down to pick them up, thinking for a moment that Giovanni had left them. She realized immediately that they weren't from a flower shop. Someone had hand-picked them, cutting the long stems carefully. Every thorn was gone. She looked around for a card, but there wasn't one. She brought the roses to her face, inhaling the rich fragrance.
They were beautiful, and it was sweet that someone would go to the trouble of putting together a bouquet.
They were wrapped in red and gold tissue paper. She straightened slowly and looked around, feeling as if someone was watching her. Fingers of icy fear crept down her spine. She unlocked the door and went inside. The moment she stepped into her apartment, she knew someone else had been there. It felt different. She stood very still, letting her gaze sweep the entire room. It wasn't difficult. Her place was small, easy to manage, easy to see from the living area to the kitchen because it was really all one room. Everything seemed to be there. As far as she could tell from just glancing around, nothing had been taken, but her things had been touched. From where she was, she could see someone had put wine glasses, two of them, near her reading chair. Then there was the table, each item on it, mementos of her family, things that meant nothing to anyone else, but everything to her had been moved. She kept them in a certain order. Her parents' photograph, the one where they were looking at each other with such love. It was inside an antique silver frame. Beside it, she put her mother's favorite pincushion and her father's pipe. She liked to have the two items touching, because her parents had always been touching. The pipe was several inches from the pincushion, and the pincushion was on the wrong side of the pipe. Someone had picked up her parents' things. They'd touched the photograph as well. It was turned slightly, so that walking in the door, she couldn't see their faces. Sandlin's picture, the one with the two of them, brother and sister, riding side by side on their favorite horses, the sun setting behind them, had been turned toward her parents' photograph, rather than facing out toward the door. Staying in the doorway, she peered at the table where the little mementos were kept. Her brother's keychain wasn't there. Her heart nearly stopped, and then began to pound. She wanted to run over to the table and look all around in case it had dropped to the floor, but the doors to the bathroom and bedroom were closed. She never closed the bedroom door. She wasn't about to set foot in the apartment alone. She backed out and shut the door carefully, and extra quietly. Running down the stairs and across the alley toward the deli, she nearly ran right into Giovanni. He caught her by the shoulders to steady her. "What's wrong?" The question was clipped, almost growled. He sounded dangerous, and for once she was glad. His gaze swept over her, taking in everything, including the bouquet of flowers she still clutched in her arms. "What is it? You're very pale." "Someone was in my apartment. They touched my things. I didn't go into the bathroom or bedroom." She didn't realize she was shivering until he wrapped his arms around her and held her close to his body. He felt strong and safe. "The doors were closed, and I thought maybe it would be better to get someone to come with me."
"I'm going to call the police and a couple of my brothers," Giovanni said. "My brothers will get here faster than the cops. We'll go in and make certain no one's inside."
She shook her head. "Wait for the police. If someone's in there, they could have a weapon."
He set her aside, texted in that extremely fast way he had, and then started up the stairs. She followed. He turned back to her, frowning at her. "Go into the deli where I know you're safe."
"I can't do that. There isn't any point in arguing with me. I'll just do what I think is right. If you're going in, I'm going with you."
"Where did you get those flowers?"
She glanced down at the bouquet, once again surprised she was holding it. "They were in front of my door."
"Whoever went inside left them for you," he surmised. "At least the probability is high."
She dropped them immediately onto the ground, the same weird tingle of fear slithering down her spine. "That's horrible. Why would someone leave me obviously hand-picked flowers and then sneak into my apartment and touch my things?"
"I don't know, honey. But we'll find out. Giovanni glanced around the alley, up toward the rooftop of the opposite building, and then took her hand and pulled her to him.